Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. I think it's fair to say that gold doesn't quite get as much attention as other assets. At least, it doesn't seem to capture the headlines in the same way that tech stocks or even emerging assets like cryptocurrency do. As I'm sure anyone with an allocation of gold will readily attest to, though, the precious metal has shone in its own quiet way in recent years. So on today's episode, we are going to give gold a bit of love by looking back on its recent price run-up and looking forward to where prices might be headed. We'll also dig into its role in a portfolio, talk about some of the ways that people can invest in it if they haven't done so already, and address the question, are people missing out on the benefits of gold in their superannuation? So to do all that, I'm very pleased to say that we are joined today by founder and chief executive of StockSpot, Chris Bricky. Chris, welcome back to Friends of Money.
Thank you. Always good to be back, Tom.
I should definitely give you the moniker of a friend of the pod at this point. So apologies for that. But next time you come on, I'll definitely add that in.
Well, yeah, we were discussing, we almost work on top of each other in neighboring buildings. So we do feel like friends.
That's true. That is very true. My apologies then. Chris, to start, I think it'd be great to get a little bit of context. And for full transparency, I should say that we are recording this episode towards the end of February. So where is the price of gold sitting at the moment? And I guess thinking back a little bit further, how has it changed in recent years?
So Tom, I think most people look at gold in US dollar terms. It's what's advertised, and those big round numbers that you often hear are always quoted in US dollars. So in US dollar terms, gold is just hovering around $3,000 an ounce. It's just a little shy of that at the moment, you know, looking to cross over at any day now. In Australian dollar terms, it's about $4,600 an ounce, given the exchange rate. And actually over the last year, in Australian dollar terms, it's up about 48% in one year. It's up a little less in US dollar terms because part of that return is in the depreciation of the Australian dollar.
So Chris, are there any particular drivers behind the kind of prices that we're seeing now, and I assume the price rises that have led to the point that we're at now?
Well, it's interesting, Tom. The drivers have changed recently, which is what's causing a lot of confusion with investors in gold and people looking to invest in gold, because historically, it had a pretty good relationship with real interest rates, which is basically interest rates adjusted for inflation. The general thinking is that if there's a cost of holding gold, which is basically the missed opportunity of earning interest. So when interest rates are lower and inflation taken away from interest rates is lower, it's good for gold. Now, what's happened over the last few years is interest rates have risen, which would typically be bad news for gold. But gold has still surged ahead. And so it's actually different drivers that we're seeing are pushing the gold price higher. One of them is just escalating government debt. Now, particularly in the US, where their government debt has risen by about 50% since COVID to about $36 trillion, there's a theory that that debt is now out of hand and the government's going to need to inflate their way out of debt by just letting inflation stay higher for longer. And that's a good omen for gold. Then there's just the general geopolitics, and certainly some of these America First policies that Trump's been touting, you know, thinking about adding tariffs and the potential ramifications of retaliation, are causing people to buy gold on the view that central banks of these other countries will start to increase their holdings of gold and sell US treasuries because they'll be wanting to be less reliant on the US.
So if the kind of tariff talk that we've heard so much about in the last month kind of crystallizes a little bit more, and central banks keep buying gold at the kind of rate that they have been, does that mean that gold prices could keep rising over the rest of 2025? What's the kind of forecast that we're hearing about gold for the rest of the year?
Well, central banks have already been quite big buyers of gold. And you know, to take you back in history, in the early 2000s, it was the opposite. A lot of central banks around the world were selling gold, including our own. I think it was in 1997 that the RBA made the awful decision of selling most of our gold in Australia at a price of something like $200 or $300 an ounce.
Oh,
you know, it's up 20 times since then. And there was a lot of central banks thinking that gold really didn't have a place in, you know, in central banking policy. You know, that's reversed over the last, you know, few years, you know, partly driven by, you know, the trade wars originally between China and the US. And China has been, you know, trying to reduce their treasury holdings relative to gold. You know, then the war between Ukraine and Russia has led to countries like Russia wanting to increase their gold holdings. And so what you're seeing is a lot of these, you know, governments wanting to separate already from the US several years ago. It's only escalating now that Trump's come in and even with, you know, historical friends like Canada is proposing tariffs. I think that's making a lot of other countries that may not have thought that they need to really bring more gold onto their balance sheet consider it as well.
Chris, I think you set us up well there in terms of a bit of the kind of current news around gold. So I'd love to spend a bit of time digging into people's portfolios now. Bit of a basic question to start off with. What role can gold play in someone's portfolio? You know, why might they want to have some in there?
Well, I'd say, first of all, gold is very divisive. And you know, you've got people like Warren Buffett who are, you know, saying that you don't need to own gold. And he said that for many years. And a lot of people I talk to who don't own gold love to quote that Buffett doesn't own gold. Then you've got other famous hedge fund managers like Ray Dalio, who I think his famous quote is, if you don't own gold in your portfolio, you either don't understand economics or you don't understand history. So he's a big advocate of owning gold. Look, I remember we've had in the StockSpot portfolios quite a big allocation to gold for the last 11 years. And I remember how much hate mail I got back in 2015 and 16 when gold wasn't performing very well from our clients saying, please remove gold from my portfolio. I don't need it. It's not going up. You know, I'd rather have more shares, even more bonds, just anything but gold. And so I think there's been a bit of a dislike of gold just for the last 20 years or so. As an investment vehicle, people don't understand its place in a portfolio, but really its place is as a diversifier. So, you know, your listeners would be well aware of the importance of diversification, spreading your money across lots of different, you know, shares within a portfolio, different currencies, countries, asset classes. You know, gold has this unique characteristic that when bonds and shares are both doing badly, which typically happens during periods of higher inflation, gold is the asset that's typically done well. And most people haven't lived through or invested through one of these periods because the last one was in the early 1970s. And so, you know, I certainly wasn't around as an investor to experience that then. And I can only rely on my reading of what happened back then. But over the period from the early 70s to 1980, share markets and bond markets basically went sideways and were quite volatile going up and down as the world struggled with secular inflation. And over that period, gold 10 times. So if you didn't have gold in your portfolio over the 1970s and just had bonds and shares, you would have really suffered. Mm. Now, we haven't had a period like that for a long time. And so I think investors are now, you know, pretty comfortable relying on shares and bonds as the main asset classes within a portfolio. And it's only now over the last few years that they've realized actually that gold may have a place after all.
That's really interesting. I also missed out on the 1970s by a couple of decades. So it's interesting to to hear you.
Yeah, it was a wild time, not only with the music and the drugs, but also with the asset class volatility.
I'll always bring that up now, the gold and the place of gold in the 1970s. Chris, thinking broadly here, is there like a rough allocation that investors are typically recommended to stick to when it comes to gold and its place in someone's overall portfolio? Do you guys have a particular approach when it comes to that at StockSpot?
The general view or the consensus out there is that most advisors and asset allocators and fund managers have actually a less than a 1% allocation to gold. So the Bank of America recently put out a study that showed that 71% of advisors have less than 1%. And so actually most people have no allocation at all. And actually less than 1% of investors have more than 10% in gold. So most people have somewhere between 1% and 10%. We've been recommending since 2011 at least 10% allocation, and we've increased that gradually over time to now 14.8%. You know, when we do our back testing, that 14.8% is the optimal that we've found that balances risk and reward in a portfolio. and gives you a lot of protection against inflation, you know, if we enter a period of secular inflation or more consistent inflation. And so I do see gold as an insurance policy in your portfolio. You're actually hoping it doesn't do very well, because if it isn't doing well, it probably means that shares and other assets are doing quite well. But if you are in a period where gold is up 40%, like it was over the last year, it's often a warning sign that those other asset classes aren't going to be performing going forward.
And I know you obviously have your own approach to this at StockSpot, but for people that, you know, don't already have an allocation of gold in their portfolios, what are their options when it comes to actually investing in it?
Well, I mean, there's a few different ways. Like 20 or 30 years ago, I think the only real way was to actually buy physical gold, you know, gold coins or gold bars from a gold dealer.
Maybe a nice necklace in the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. A necklace or chain, anything like that. And then store it yourself. And, you know, storing anything precious like that, you know, brings the risk of it getting stolen or you losing it. So you really have to think about the storage side. You know, that changed, decades after that. And then there's now gold bullion dealers like ABC Bullion is a popular one in Sydney, where they'll actually store the bullion for you in a vault. And that can be either allocated gold, which means you actually kind of know which bit of gold is yours, or unallocated gold, which means that they have a big pool of gold and they've basically directed some of that gold ownership to you. And there's different costs of those two. It's more expensive to have allocated because you actually need a physical compartment for that little bit of gold. And then the most popular one these days that we see and we recommend to our clients is just through an exchange-traded fund or ETF. So again, for a bit of history, it was actually an Australian by the name of Graham Tuckwell who invented the gold ETF globally.
Really?
Around the financial crisis, and he became quite famous because of it. It's a fantastic invention because although it's a easily tradable security on the ASX, it's actually backed by physical gold. So you own your allocation towards gold, which is stored, in the case of the ETF we use, in a vault in London. And you actually have the ability to redeem it if you want. So if you want to change your ETF units for a block of gold, you can actually go to London, deliver them with the piece of paper, and they'll give you your gold. We think the ETF is a really efficient way of owning gold because it's easy to buy and sell. The annual holding costs are quite low, and it just fits nicely in a portfolio that way.
I'm kind of envisioning kind of a Harry Potter Gringotts Bank style, entry into my own little gold vault.
Yeah, that would be a big bank with a wizard with a big beard delivering you with your gold. Yeah, maybe it's something like that. I think from memory, some of that was actually filmed in the Commonwealth Bank vault in Martin Place, which is quite a beautiful vault. If any of your listeners want to visit a great vault.
Chris, I feel like you're wasted on this episode, and we should do a dedicated gold trivia podcast. Oh, okay. As well.
I was hoping you were going to say Harry Potter trivia, because I'd be hopeless at that.
While we're on the topic of ETFs, are all gold ETFs backed by physical gold in a vault like you talked about, or are there different kinds as well?
Look, gold ones typically, yes. There are some commodities where it's difficult to back it with a physical. Like a good example is oil. You know, to hold a big value of oil in drums, you know, you need to hire a big tanker and store it offshore, and that's not really feasible. So with an oil ETF, you're typically investing into futures, which is a financial contract. With gold, because it's actually quite small, and for another bit of listener trivia, I believe all of the gold ever dug up fits into about the size of a tennis court. A cubic tennis court. So there isn't that gold that's been discovered ever. Because gold can be stored quite easily, your gold ETFs are backed by the physical. And I think gold investors often want that as well because, you know, the thesis for many gold investors is that they don't trust the system, they don't trust banks. You know, they want to know that gold is sitting somewhere because they don't want to just have a piece of paper that says that, Lehman's or Bear Stearns owes them a bit of gold because of the potential risks there. So yes, they are physically backed. The difference actually, Tom, is that with the ones listed on the stock exchange in Australia, the gold is stored in different locations. So there's one ETF where it's stored in Australia, for instance, one where it's stored in Singapore, and one where it's stored in London. So if you have a preference for where your gold is stored, that may be a reason to buy one over the other.
Makes sense. And I assume you include airfares along with the ETF that you guys invest in, which has its gold in London?
Well, yeah, I believe, and I've asked them recently, no one has actually ever gone and redeemed for physical. So it's something I've wanted to do, and maybe it's going to give me a tax-deductible trip over to London one day, is to go and redeem some of my gold ETF for a couple of little coins.
Well, if you ever want to take a podcaster along with you, I wouldn't say no to a trip to London.
You can, well, you can take your Stockspot portfolio over and deliver it to them and tell them that you want a bit of gold.
Love it. Chris, I left one of the more important questions until the very end, but I'm really interested in hearing your thoughts on it. Are people missing out on the potential benefits of gold in their superannuation? And if so, why is that the case? Because I've got to be honest, I've not ever really thought about gold in my super at all, or even look to see if I have any gold in my super.
No, from the research I've done, Tom, most super funds have zero allocation to gold. Some have a very small allocation of 1%, but it's very hard to find, you know, any information about super funds allocation to gold. I think it's quite sad because it's an asset class I see a lot of value in having. And a lot of super funds are focused on these very complex high fee asset classes like private equity and private debt and venture capital. Where the, you know, risk versus return metrics and payoffs are, you know, sometimes questionable over the long run based on the research. Whereas gold, it's quite conclusive from what I've read that it adds value to a portfolio from a risk return basis, and yet super funds have all snubbed their noses at it. I think sadly part of the reason for this is the influence of asset consultants. So asset consultants are a group that super funds hire to basically recommend how they should invest. And they seem to, from my experience working with some of them, have a big driver to be recommending asset classes where they can then sell their expertise to pick fund managers, for instance. Mm. So with gold, it's a bit of a unique asset class that once you've recommended it in a portfolio, there's little else to do because you can't really recommend much more than that. You can't charge fees to go and find the top 10 active managers with gold. You simply buy the blocks of gold or an ETF investing in gold. I think, sadly, some of these conflicts are the reason why more super funds don't have a bigger allocation to gold. I unfortunately think it's probably only after gold goes up several 100% that super funds, like many retail investors, will start to be interested, and probably they will have missed out on a lot of returns by then. And so if you do see your super fund starting to allocate to gold now, I'd be asking them, why weren't you there, you know, last year when it was much lower, or 5 years ago, because it's tripled since then. So super funds have seemed to be very slow onto gold as an asset class. I think, like many other investors, if bonds as an asset class continues to underperform due to secular inflation, they'll all be forced and squeezed into gold, but probably at the wrong time of the cycle. That's a long-winded way of saying most super funds don't have any gold, and it really baffles me as to why.
Chris, I know that Stockspot's about to launch its own kind of play into super. So is gold something that you're going to be considering within that for investors in the same way that you do for your other Stockspot investors?
Absolutely, Tom. So we've already invested in a lot of gold for our self-managed super clients, and we've been working for the last couple of years on an actual super product. So it was even a dream of mine in starting Stockspot 10 years ago that it should be a super product. Because I've always thought ETFs are a wonderful thing to have in your super, and I'm always been surprised that more super funds aren't investing in them. It's taken us many years to get to this place where we now have a 10-year track record of returns and performance outside of super, and we've built our own super product. Like our portfolios outside of super, our super portfolios have a 14.8% allocation to gold, which from my research is the biggest allocation out of any super product in Australia. So, you know, I think as more people recognize the value of gold, it, you know, it's probably one of the reasons our product will appeal to some people.
I love the little bit of trivia at the end there as well. Nice little cap off for the episode that has been full of gold related trivia, Chris. I'm very impressed. It has been a pleasure to have you on the show, as it always is. So thank you so much for joining us on Friends of Money, and we'll look forward to the next time that you're on.
Thanks, Tommy. I'm looking forward to the trivia-focused episode next. I'll have to read up on some gold trivia because I think I've exhausted all my knowledge on this one.
We'll change topics. Don't worry.
Yeah, silver maybe next topic.
Okay, that sounds good. That's it for this episode of the Friends of Money podcast. But don't forget to jump on our website, moneymang.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news. Or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feed next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.